Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. We're more than a month into 2015. Is the energy and resolve of your New Year's resolutions fast fading away, or is it already long gone? Are you battling the same inner demons, fear of failure, stress of earning a living, strained relationships, simple lack of joy that plagued you last year and the year before? If so, perhaps you're searching for inner peace and happiness in the wrong direction. In today's world, many of us at middle age, at any age really, are coming to realize that searching for happiness through achievements and material possessions simply adds to our rising stress. And this only brings us more chaos and unhappiness, and the same old approach to a brighter tomorrow as we define it just isn't working. And my first guest today is here to offer an alternative road to happiness, inner peace, and a new beginning. How about a mind training method that will help you overcome fears and painful emotions so you can be free from suffering? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And it's a practice that millions of people worldwide are taking up called mindfulness meditation. And my guest is Charles A. Francis. For over 18 years, he has helped thousands learn mindfulness meditation through clear and simple instructions. He's co-founder and director of Mindfulness Meditation Institute, which currently has a following of 65,000 people worldwide. He's author of a brand new book, Mindfulness Meditation Made Simple, Your Guide to Finding True Inner Peace. In addition to teaching the practice to individuals, Charles is a speaker, workshop leader, and he consults with organizations, companies, and nonprofits to develop mindfulness training programs for their staff, which sounds really interesting. Hello, Charles, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hi, Roy. Happy to be here with you today.
Well, to get us started, in a nutshell, what is mindfulness meditation and what can it help us accomplish?
Well, mindfulness meditation is one form of meditation among many. And the idea is to develop mindfulness. And mindfulness, in its simplest terms, means awareness.
Yes.
So the idea behind developing mindfulness is that we learn more about ourselves, our emotions, our thoughts, know where they come from and how they develop, and also our relationships with other people and the rest of the world.
Yes.
Now, when we develop a deeper understanding or awareness of our relationship with ourselves and other people, then we can make better decisions on how to conduct ourselves so that we don't create problems for ourselves.
Yeah, it's so difficult to attack a problem if you don't really understand where it's coming from or what's inside you.
Exactly, and that's what happens to many of us. You know, we make decisions every day, you know, without having complete information.
Yeah. Well, is mindfulness meditation a new practice, or has it been around for a while?
No, actually, it's been around for quite a while. It was the original form of meditation that the Buddha taught over 2,500 years ago.
Yeah, that's quite a while, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just now becoming popular here in the West.
Oh, I see. Has there been any recent scientific research that confirms its benefits?
Oh, yes, and that's probably one of the main drivers of it becoming so popular.
Oh, I see.
Is that researchers have been busy over the last 20 or 25 years, and they've found, you know, many different areas where mindfulness meditation can help us in our health, our emotional and mental well-being. They just find all different kinds of ways. And, you know, the first form that they really focused on was overcoming stress.
Oh, yes. That's stress is the cause of so many of our other problems, like high blood pressure and depression, everything else.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, once we learn how to deal with, like I was talking about before, our emotions, you know, we just relieve a lot of that stress, or we keep it from building up.
Yeah.
Because by calming our emotions, you know, we don't get all riled up to begin with.
No, that's something we can all avoid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I know it also helps prevent chronic illnesses that cost millions in health care benefits, I'm sure, not to mention all the pain and suffering that people go through. But it was also interesting to note from your book that it helps people enhance their mental capabilities as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, the funny thing is, as I've gone into middle age, my peers, you know, friends and families, you know, yeah, who are about the same age as I am, they're all complaining about losing their memories.
Oh,
while,
yes.
While my memory
moment.
Has got, yeah, my memory has gotten sharper. My ability to think has gotten faster.
Yeah,
and, you know, my awareness is just so much deeper than it was before. And I'm just able to be more productive, you know, not just in my personal life, but also in my career.
Oh, that's great. Well, millions of us at middle age or any age would benefit from mindfulness meditation, but what are the main reasons why most people have so much trouble getting started with it?
Well, there are two main reasons. One of them is not understanding the techniques.
Yeah,
you know, many people think that meditation is just meditation.
Yeah,
but there are so many different forms, and this is what was confusing for me in the beginning.
I see.
Was that I was getting advice from people who were all practicing different forms of meditation, and I could just never seem to put my head around it.
Yeah.
But when I finally came across mindfulness meditation and I studied the techniques, I realized that the techniques themselves, they're very simple, and they're easy to implement. And once you understand that, you start seeing progress right away. You start seeing an immediate benefit even from your first meditation session.
Yeah. I guess another thing you mentioned was lack of clear goals. If you don't really have any goals for your meditation, it's kind of doesn't lead anywhere.
Yeah, that's the other difficulty that we have is staying committed to our practice. And, you know, as most successful people do is they establish goals for themselves. So that way they have a roadmap.
Right.
And you know, they also make a commitment to themselves. And by making that commitment, we're more likely to follow through on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. You're not likely to get anywhere in the world and without GPS or at least a roadmap. And the same is true, obviously, in your personal life.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine putting in trying to get directions from Google without putting in a destination?
Yes, that would be kind of confusing, wouldn't it?
Well, you don't know where you're going to end up.
No. As an instructor, I bet you've heard this refrain, I'm not sure to do of what to do when I'm meditating. How, in fact, should you begin and then sustain a session of mindfulness meditation when you're just getting started, saying you don't know too much about the techniques?
Yeah, well, basically, like many other forms of meditation, we follow our breathing. And that's the reason for that is, you know, we want something to focus our attention on.
Yes.
Now, with mindfulness meditation, we have what I call our tools of observation. And the first one is concentration.
Yeah.
Because, remember, the whole idea is to develop mindfulness or awareness. So we need to learn how to observe objectively.
Oh, I see.
So our first tool of observation is concentration. And so, in other words, we want to develop a little bit of mental discipline, you know, steady our minds so that we can focus on one object or subject. And we do that by counting our breathing.
Oh, I see.
And by counting our breathing silently in our mind, we're able to keep ourselves anchored in the present moment. So,
and like the sergeant counting your footsteps, up, two, three, four.
Exactly. And,
only more relaxed than the sergeant, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's why they do it, is to help you stay focused on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So what happens when we're meditating, it helps keep our mind from going astray so much. And it will go astray, you know.
Yeah.
We have to accept that from the beginning. is that our mind's going to wander off. You know, you can't expect perfection right from the very first session.
No, that's a problem I always have with meditation. My mind keeps going racing, and then I have to bring it back to. But I guess you can't force yourself to get away from it, but you can. How do you bring yourself back away from the racing mind? I guess you just keep counting, or
well, when you realize your mind has drifted away, just bring it back.
Yeah.
So we're continuously bringing it back, and as we give our mind a chance to settle down, and it will settle down.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we have so many stray thoughts is because we never really give our mind a rest.
Yeah.
So it gets a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
So when we sit and meditate, we give it a rest, and we allow it to calm naturally. And it'll become easier as we apply these techniques.
I see. And then you concentrate for a while, you mentioned then you move on to mindfulness? Or
right. That's where we... So it's our second observation tool.
I see.
We still follow our breath, but in a slightly different way.
I
see. With the concentration, it's very rigid.
Yeah.
You know, once our mind drifts off, we immediately yank it back.
Oh,
you know,
I
there's
see.
Nothing
yeah.
gentle about it.
Yeah.
Now, with mindfulness, we observe our breathing on a deeper level. You know, we start, looking at our breathing, you know, say what's the action that our lungs are performing
yeah.
and all the function that our whole body is doing while we're breathing, and maybe look at some things that are happening with the oxygen that's coming in. So it's looking up at breathing on a deeper level. So the idea is we study our mind with concentration so that we can look deeper with mindfulness.
I see. Well, you indicate that having clear goals is an essential ingredient to successful mindfulness meditation. But in launching the practice, what kind of personal goals should you set, especially when you're starting out? I guess they shouldn't be too complex or too daunting a challenge.
Right. Well, they're basically meditation goals. For example, set a goal to practice for the next, for example, the next 30 days, I commit to practicing 15 minutes a day or every other day, and then increase it gradually to 20 or 30 minutes.
I see.
So by establishing those goals, you know, we help keep ourselves committed and focused. So we know where we're going with this. And one of the goals I suggest to people is including in that is how we're going to learn, and how we're going to learn this practice. You know, whether it's through a teacher, a book, or a group.
Yeah.
So that way, it helps us stick with the practice, because that's one of the biggest problems with beginners is we so easily get distracted, and next thing you know, we don't have time for meditation again.
Yeah, amen. And then we get frustrated and. Just abandon the whole thing, unfortunately, and that's what happens to a lot of people. But.
Right. That's why we suggest, set attainable goals. Don't get overly ambitious, like, say, I'm going to meditate for an hour every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to do it perfectly. Because
when
do you
move
that,
from those kind of technical goals or, learning goals to start concentrating on some of the goals you have in life? Is that? I guess you have to get pretty proficient at the meditation procedure before you do that.
Well, with the 12 steps of the mindfulness meditation practice that I talk about in the book, they're mainly about our own development, our own spiritual development.
Yeah.
Through the practice of mindfulness meditation, and then as we develop mindfulness, we can establish other personal goals, which are probably, if we, give some more thought to them, we'll find out where our efforts are best served.
And so often they're not the material goals that we had before we started, I would think they probably changes your whole perspective once you really understand where you're coming from and what your connection is to other people and all those other things that it brings about.
That's right, you know, because, you know, our idea behind, you know, making $1 million was for us to be happy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when people sometimes make $1 million, they find out that they're more stressed than they were before they had the million.
Isn't that the truth? I want to be a millionaire, so I'll be happy.
Yeah. So, you know, that then, you know, we're stuck. You know, what do we do now?
Like I always say, the only thing wealth really gives you being independently wealthy is the freedom to choose. But if you don't know what you really want to do with all that money and how you're going to spend your life when you have that money, the money isn't really going to do you much good anyway.
Yeah, it just, you know, brings about a whole another set of problems and worries about how to keep from losing the million.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in your book, you recommend writing meditation. And what is this, and how does writing out goals and affirmations help transform the way you relate to other people? And where do you go to find affirmations to copy, or how do you get started doing that?
Well, writing meditation is a technique that we developed here at the Mindfulness Meditation Institute.
I see.
Now, there is writing meditation out there. If you do a search on the internet, you'll find a different form of writing meditation. What they basically do there is it's kind of like journaling.
Yeah.
You write whatever is on your mind. It's kind of like a freestyle form of writing.
Yeah.
But with our writing meditation, instead of, you know, letting something come out of your mind, what we're doing is we're putting something in our mind. And these are basically wholesome affirmations. And it's really based on the loving kindness meditation that's common in various Eastern traditions.
I see.
And they're basically affirmations like, may I be healthy and strong, may I be safe and protected, may I be loving, kind, and so forth. And all these principles that we would like to live our lives by.
I was amazed to find when I read that writing out those affirmations like that can actually change your subconscious mind so that it's almost like something really happened. You become healthier and more content and more at peace with yourself and with others if you keep writing that down.
Oh, yeah. It literally restructures our neural network to imprint those habits in our mind so that we end up behaving more loving, more gentle, more compassionate with other people.
Yeah.
Now think about the implications of that.
Yeah.
It will transform our relationships.
Yeah.
You know, when we start behaving in a more loving manner towards other people, you know, they will see that. And think about the impact it will have on healing. You know, say the people that harmed us in the past.
Yeah.
We'll begin to see them in a completely different light. So we'll be able to let go of that pain and suffering that we have from past conflicts.
It's too bad all the world leaders couldn't really become proficient at this meditation so that they weren't constantly knocking down the other side and killing people and all this other garbage that goes on.
Yeah, it's really sad. You know, we have a solution for all the world's problems, you know, if we look within ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, but we're always looking outside for somebody else to solve the problems.
Yeah, that's right. But in your, I think on your website, you actually have a writing affirmation you talked about that people can download.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They can download from the resources section of our website, mindfulnessmeditationinstitute.org.
Oh, I see.
And the loving kindness writing meditation is just one of them.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
we have another one for mindful consumption, which deals with overcoming unwholesome habits like overeating, smoking, or any other habits. We have another one for living the mindfulness meditation practice, which helps us stay committed to our practice.
That's great.
So the idea is to do do this exercise for like 5 or 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And you don't need any quiet time. You can do it at any time of the day.
Oh, I see. So you need the quiet time, obviously, for the sitting meditation, as you call it, but not so much for the writing meditation.
Right. Yeah, that you can do at any time. And yeah. One of the side benefits of doing the writing meditation is people are sleeping better. You know, they find that it helps them sleep because it calms our mind. It replaces a lot of like the worry and anxieties that you know we have when we go to bed.
Yeah.
So if we do this, you know, in our evening routine as we're going to bed for about 5 minutes, it really helps calm the mind down and helps us sleep better.
Oh, that's great. Well, in your book, Mindfulness Meditation Made Simple, as you mentioned, you present a 12-step approach that will transform your own life and the lives of your friends, family, and people in the community. And we don't have time to discuss all 12, but could you describe maybe the first two or three steps just to get people started?
Yeah. Well, I pretty much already described step two, our tools of observation, concentration, and mindfulness.
Yeah, that's right.
And
what's step one, for instance?
We talk about the nature of suffering, what is it and how we overcome it. And we also talk about what they call in Buddhism are the three jewels. And those are really the sources of our spiritual nourishment.
I see.
And this is something that's common to most major forms of religion.
Yeah.
We all have, they have the spiritual principles. They have the, you know, the deity or the higher power that they commune with. And they also have the gathering.
Yeah, that's, you mentioned how important it is to, even early in the process, to meditate with other people and to form groups or to join groups. I think that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, yeah. I talk about that extensively in the book because I can never emphasize enough the importance of getting involved in a meditation group because that's our spiritual community.
Yeah, it helps you, and I'm sure it helps others, and it would be great to have, to be meditating along with a bunch of other people with common purposes like that. But, well, where should listeners go to preview and purchase your book? You mentioned your website. Is there other places they can go? Or,
Well, the book is available pretty much in every retail outlet, including Amazon.com. So,
yeah.
And now it's on in e-book, in Kindle format. So.
Oh, I see. That's always helpful.
So it's in paperback and in Kindle.
Yeah, I like I said, I read that book the end of last week, and I'm really committed to getting into this mindfulness meditation. It's something I've never really tried, and it sounds fascinating. And in conclusion, those of you who are regular listeners know our program is all about midlife renewal and a joyful, stress-free second half. And if you've been seeking to transform your life through conventional methods without much success, I highly recommend you go to Charles Francis's website and also order Amazon and preview his brand new book, Mindfulness Meditation Made Simple. And I'm happy and full of energy and excited about the future, but like most people, I need to pay closer attention to the concerns, challenges, and desires of others, both near and far. We're all on this same planet together, after all. And like you, I want to condition myself to observe and listen more deeply, form compassionate connections, and have a greater positive impact on the lives of others. And while I'm at it, I'll feel a lot better myself. And before you become too distracted by the outdoor allures of spring, which is just around the corner, hopefully, now would be a great time to launch your journey of mindfulness meditation, ideally along with others. And Charles Francis will tell you how. And thank you so much, Charles, for joining us today. And best of success with your book and with your institute.
Well, thank you, Roy, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. As our program debuts, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. And hey, guys, maybe gals too, are you a little anxious? My next guest, psychotherapist Jude Bijou, informs that many of her clients, particularly men, experience a kind of mental block around Valentine's Day. And I plead guilty. I've been married to my wife, Gloria, for many, many years. And she won't let me tell you just how many, but every year I still feel nervous about what to buy and how to spend the holiday, pressured to prove my love. And I also have to admit I'm a little resentful about this holiday and all the hype. Isn't Valentine's a secret conspiracy of florists, card shops, restaurants, and candy makers? And if you guys think you're challenged, how about me? Gloria and I were married on February 13th, one day before Valentine's Day, so I have to prove my love 2 days in a row. And so what does your spouse or life partner really want from you this year? Cards, chocolates, and roses are nice, but not exactly creative or even heartfelt, especially if your sweetie receives the same gift every year. And a romantic dinner may be fun, but is it worth the hour-long or longer wait for a table because everyone else seems to have the same idea? And is sexy lingerie what she really wants, especially if you've been married for 20 or more years? But never fear, our guest Jude Bijou is here to suggest some unique gifts for our sweethearts, letting them know beyond the shadow of a doubt how much we love, value, and respect them. And best of all, the gifts that Jude is going to suggest won't cost you a dime. They're both priceless and free. And you may recall Jude from our September 29th program when she gave us a prescription for a long, awesome life. And to refresh your memory, Jude Bijou is a highly respected psychotherapist, professional educator, and a workshop leader. She has over 30 years' experience as licensed marriage and family therapist. And she espouses a holistic approach to inner health and well-being. And she's author of the award-winning book, Attitude Reconstruction. Hello, Jude, and welcome back to our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
It's so nice to be talking with you again, Roy.
Well, to begin, what do you advise clients when they express genuine anxiety about Valentine's Day? Do you have a one or two sentence prescription that you offer to them, or what do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that it really is about the heart, and it's about pausing for a little while and going a little deeper than the commercialism and peer pressure or the thoughts that we have in our head, and really just sort of drop down and take a deep breath and get in touch with the love. And then what I'm going to suggest are some ways to help you do that.
Yeah, I think it's also important that when people are nervous about that they realize that Valentine's is not a make-or-break day. It's only one more opportunity in the whole year to demonstrate your love. But if it doesn't go that great, you can try again on February 15th or February 16th or whatever.
That's just exactly right. These tips are good any day of the year.
Well, let's get down to the specifics. What are some of the priceless gifts you can give to a loved one on Valentine's Day?
It takes a little forethought, so it's good that you still have a few days before Valentine's Day. One thing you can do is write down a list of qualities or characteristics that you like about the object of your affection.
Yeah, it always makes so much sense to write something down that when you have that thought in mind.
Exactly. Now, and they can be characteristics or they can be accomplishments.
Yeah.
And then take it from that, from when now you have your list, and put them in a card or write
a
poem.
Idea. Yeah, personalize that card rather than just signing it.
Absolutely. Write down all of the things that you appreciate. Absolutely.
Maybe once in a while I write a card on my own. It saves money, too, but I also like to, you know, draw a picture and then express something very personal in the card.
Absolutely, because personal is really the good word, because it is about getting in touch with what is unique, not just what you can buy.
So I know in this modern day and time, you also mentioned you could record a video with you reading the list.
Absolutely, because the whole thing is that you want something that the person can refer to, and you're giving them something tangible.
Yes.
So it's a short video, it's a poem, it's a card, it's a collage that you do, but something where you put energy into really focusing on what you appreciate and then expressing it.
And it goes beyond just the Valentine's Day itself. They can reread that as many times as they want over the coming weeks and months.
Exactly. So that takes me to the second one, and which is also you can write a list of your favorite, most wonderful memories.
Yes, that sounds like a great idea.
And then you can convey them. You can either say, hey, just sit there for a while, and I want to just tell you about these precious times that we had. Or you can write them down.
Yeah. I should you ask your loved one to share his or her favorite memories with you? I think that might be a great conversation piece as well.
Yeah.
Unless they don't have any favorite memories.
Well, see, you're putting a little bit of pressure, and,
yeah,
and you're wanting them to be spontaneous, and that's really hard.
Yeah, so, that's true. Well, maybe that was a bad idea.
Well, maybe you can ask a few days later.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, that felt so good for me to write down a list of things. I would love, love, love it if you did that for me.
Well, your partner might respond spontaneously without you even asking as well. If you bring back a bunch of memories, I'm sure that'll bring back memories in him or her as well. So it,
yes,
might
yes.
work that way. What are some other ideas you have?
Well, you can think of your partner, your spouse, your friend, whatever, and think about what would make them smile, what
yeah.
would ease their stress.
Yeah,
and it could be a chore or an activity of maybe you're going to, you know, do the laundry for a week.
Yeah, that's...
You know, maybe you're going to finally fix the fence.
We have a lot of those finallys I've got to do around here.
Exactly. But just think about the feeling that it would go if you really make that intention and make it happen, follow through. Say you write in a card that say, hey, I'm going to, you know, fix the plumbing on the back and the leak in the bathroom. I'm going to do it this Saturday.
Well,
and
that's great. I can save
through.
It up for Valentine's Day, and I don't have to worry about doing anything for
that. Absolutely. But you got to do it with a smile on your face.
Yeah, that's true. If you start complaining about it, it's not much of a gift, is it?
That's right. That's right.
So what are some of the other ideas?
Well, you can figure out something that's outside of your regular routine, something that feels fresh, maybe going on a drive somewhere
yeah.
new, or maybe a hike or a stroll around a special neighborhood, or, you know, do something like dancing in your living room.
That sounds better than if you're living where I do. Going
yeah,
on a stroll
exactly.
in February might be a little chilly. But,
absolutely.
You know, one thing that always bothers me about Valentine's Day, it's not a federal holiday or anything, and it's only 2 times out of 7 does it fall on a weekend day, so that, you know, it's often you still have to go to work and do your normal thing, so it's kind of tough to get out of that routine and do something special in the evening, but I guess you just have to make the time and do it.
Well, and you can also do it the weekend before or the weekend after. So you give a nice card saying, you know, gosh, it's coming up, and let's, you know, well, it's good it's on a Saturday this weekend.
Yeah,
this,
that's right.
This year. But you can always, you know, give a rain check and put it either before, the weekend before, or the weekend after. And
that's
just,
true. Just because the merchants say it's February 14th, for you it doesn't have to be that specific day if it's inconvenient. But.
Absolutely. And just you talk it through with the person who's expecting
oh, yeah.
the Valentine.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, what about if we celebrate it on another day this year?
Yeah, that's right.
So another thing that you can do is if you have, say, iffy thoughts about Valentine's Day, you know, you zeroed in on how much it's going to cost you and, you know,
yeah.
you're lining up to buy the flowers and stuff like that, that what you can do is not make fun of the day, not
oh,
make those little side, you know, rolling of the eyes.
I'll have to work on that.
Yeah. Really, but, you know, regardless of how you feel, say only positive things.
Yeah, that would be a great holiday, just to say nothing negative for the whole day when you're with your sweetheart.
Absolutely. Yeah, and to smile. You know, it's just one day.
Yeah, that's right. If you can't get through one day without the negative, you're really in a pretty sorry state.
Well, then you really need to make an effort to change that habit.
For
you know,
sure.
because it doesn't do much for you. It doesn't bring closeness.
No.
And that's what we're all looking for, really,
yeah.
is to be understood. And because that brings me to my next tip, that you can just, set up a cozy place and, turn down the electronics and all of that kind of stuff. And ask your partner, ask them open-ended questions, and then just listen.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt. It's not a conversation. It's just a listening. Hey, like, I want to hear about your dreams, or where do you see yourself in 10 years or 20 years, or, how have you been feeling? Just ask those questions and just say, hey, this is just confidential. I won't share this with anybody. And don't interrupt.
No, it's so difficult to really deeply listen to someone. I know in my own mind it's so easy to think of an answer, be concentrating on how you're going to reply to something rather than listening to what the person really has to say.
Right, because that's the gift, is I'm going to really listen. I'm going to listen and try to understand. It's like put myself in the other person's shoes.
That would probably be the most wonderful gift I could think of to give someone on Valentine's Day.
Your lucky wife.
Really listen to them.
Yep, your lucky wife.
Yeah. And you had a couple more here. Let's cover those.
So one thing is that we all have a tendency, it's hard being in a couple. We have differences and there's, that friction. And we can let that go. We can let go of all the grudges and just accept your partner, flaws and all. Differences and all.
And let them know that without condition that you're
exactly
accepting them.
And just go, all right, there's a person in here, and there's a person that I love. We have all of these problems, but really, again, focus on that I love you, you did the best you could. We disagree about that, but your views are really as important as mine.
Yeah, that's so key. It's such a great day to offer total forgiveness, Valentine's Day. Any day is a great day to offer total forgiveness.
Well, because not only does the recipient feel the effect, but the person who's giving the forgiveness equally feels the...
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always say three people get a positive benefit from forgiving you, the person you're forgiving, and third parties that have to sit and listen to you complain about the hurt.
Uh-huh.
So
that's
benefits
right.
Three parties, really.
Yep. Yeah, and you can expand it out to the whole, atmosphere is, one less negative thing going around.
That's exactly right. And what's the last of the eight suggestions you had?
Well, is that you can just, you just pause and take a little time and allow yourself to fall in love again. Conjure up those memories and feel it. Feel it. Keep your focus on how did it feel when I first saw her.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, we've got kids now and we got, chores to do. But I can put my attention to where I just really fell in love.
Yeah.
And so then if you keep your attention focused there, then you can, act from that full place.
Yeah. Well, many of us at middle age have been married for the same person for 20, 30 years or more. Is there a simple way to put this spark and sizzle back into our relationship on February 14th? And how essential is the physical attraction part? Should you feel guilty if you don't happen to be romantically energized on this particular evening? And must you apologize if you don't sweep your sweetheart off his or her feet?
Well, I think that you got to remember that it's about love, and really keeping your heart there. That it's not about the end goal of having sex tonight or not having sex tonight. It's like I want to have a nice connection.
Yeah.
I want to feel good at the end of the day and feel proud of myself. I stepped out of my stuff, and I really put out a lot of love.
Yeah, certainly I would think it would be okay to cuddle and connect emotionally without physical fireworks. They just don't happen to occur.
Absolutely. But again, that's the thing about granting a wish. you know, put yourself in the other person's shoes. What would they like?
Yeah. I'm firmly convinced that we can restore an emotional romantic connection without reaching for the Viagra. Well, obviously, we don't want our marriage or romantic partnership to be great only on February 14th, but not the other 364 days. And in your book, Attitude Reconstruction, you emphasize that to bring love, joy, and peace into our lives, we need to align thoughts, words, and deeds with three ultimate attitudes. In the brief time remaining, can you give us those three attitudes?
Absolutely. We have to love ourselves and just not be beating ourselves up. We have to accept other people, and because they are the way they are.
Yeah.
And we have to
keep trying to change the people just the way you want them to.
And that's the third ultimate attitude, is to stay present and specific. So rather than making big generalizations, deal with what's really right in front of you, or one topic at a time.
Yeah. Well, where should we go to preview and purchase your book? The full name's Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life.
It's available on my website, which is www.attitudereconstruction.com. Or it's available as a download or in paperback through Amazon or ordered through any bookstore.
Yeah. Actually, we also offer it on our website in the personal midlife renewal section. You can find Jude's book there, too, because we pick out some of the best books of people we've had on the program and put them in there in our store. So you can go to middleagerenewal.com and find it there, too.
Excellent. So, because people can sign up for the newsletter, they can take a quiz and figure out what attitudes are not serving them and get some practical suggestions.
Yeah, the Attitude Reconstruction Survey. I found that very interesting. I was looking at that today.
Exactly.
Well, in conclusion, you may be listening to this program after Valentine's Day is over, but hey, Jude's suggestions for expressions of genuine love and appreciation work pretty well on the other 364 days of the year. You might just try it. And it doesn't matter really how long you've been married or how long you've been in that relationship. Like me, I'm sure you've observed 85-year-old couples deeply in love and holding hands as they walk along the sidewalk. This is the person, remember, that you've chosen to spend your life with, and it only makes sense to love and respect him or her with all your heart. And why not get out of your daily pattern and routine, and a little more affection, concern, and loving communication just might work wonders. Try those eight suggestions that Jude gave us, and I'm sure things will certainly change for the better. And thank you so much, Jude, and best to you, and best of success in your consulting ventures and all your coaching and everything you do.
Thank you so much. It's just my pleasure, and happy Valentine's Day and happy every day.
Yep, and now let's all go out and have both a wonderful Valentine's Day and a joyful, stress-free today with your love partner and whatever the date says on your calendar. And tune in again next week for Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.